So here we are, December 30th, 2012. In just a few days, it's going to be January 2013. And if you're like me, it wasn't that long ago that we were all worried about Y2K. This group over here, how many of you remember Y2K? You're like, what are you talking about? The world was going to come to an end because computers were going to shut down as we enter 2000. Slight exaggeration. But anyway, here we are. Moving into 2013, a new beginning, a fresh start. How many of you are individuals that normally set New Year's resolutions? A few of you, good. I'm also in the unmotivated category. But at the same time, I do appreciate the fact that with the new year is a new beginning. It's a fresh start. We can close the chapter on 2012, we can thank God for His grace and provisions, but we can close that chapter, the good, the bad, the ugly, and regardless of where we were in 2012, 2013, January 1st is a new beginning, a fresh start. And even though I'm not a person of New Year's resolutions, I also understand to aim at nothing. When you aim at nothing, you're surely what? You'll surely hit it. So there is certainly a place for goals. There's certainly a place for being intentional. And my challenge to you and to myself this morning is that in 2013 that we would prioritize the Word of God. For some of us in this room, we've been prioritizing God's Word for a long time. Some of you are aware that I sent out some emails this week looking for some feedback. And an individual emailed me back and said that in 1955, here at Community Bible Church, they picked up a Bible reading plan at the beginning of the year. And for the past 60 years, this individual has been following that plan. And he is now on his 33rd time reading through the Bible. So an individual who is very familiar, very dedicated to the Scriptures. But I also understand that there are other individuals that are on a different place. This was another email I received. Said, yes, Pastor, I have given up with reading the Word of God on a daily and even monthly basis. It was more fun when my husband became a believer. But before I knew it, I couldn't even find where I put my Bible, and I thought to myself, now this is serious. Even as I look around now, I don't see it or know where it is. The wide spectrum of the individuals that come in here on a Sunday morning. One individual who is reading through the Bible for his 33rd time over the past 60 years, and another individual that's not even sure where her Bible is. My guess is that most of you probably fit somewhere in that middle category. But this morning, regardless of whether you're in this end of the spectrum or you're on this end of the spectrum, I want all of us to think about and to wrestle with, what does prioritizing the Scriptures in 2013, what's that going to look like for me? It's going to be different for all of us. But for you, what is it going to look like to prioritize the Word of God? This morning, I want us to also think about, why should we prioritize the Word of God? To answer that question, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19 is probably about the halfway point in your Bible. It's written by David. This psalm fits into three basic sections. We're going to look at the middle section this morning closely, verses 7 through 11, but I want you to see the context, and so we're going to read through Psalm chapter 19 this morning. Follow along as I read. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. The voice goes out into all of the earth. their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Again, three sections to Psalm 119. The first section is verses 1 through 6, where David speaks to God's creation. And he talks about the fact that God's creation declares the glory of God. If you look at verses 3 and 4, there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all of the earth, their words to the end of the world. So God reveals himself through creation. How else does God reveal himself to humanity, to us? Verses 7 through 11 speak to his word, to his commands. And so the connection between the first six verses and verses 7 through 11 are that God reveals himself both through his creation and through his word. Verses 12 through 14 is David's response to this God who is the creator and to this God who gives his commands. And he becomes aware of his sins and he becomes aware of his need to live a pleasing life before the God of the universe and before the God of the scriptures. Again, we want to answer the question this morning, why should we prioritize God's word in 2013? And we're going to camp out in verses 7 through 11. And there's going to be audience participation, okay? The first opportunity for you to participate is, what are the phrases that are synonymous for the Bible or for the scriptures or for the word of the Lord? I'll give you the first one. In verse 7, David refers to the word of God as the law of the Lord. What are other phrases that you see, verses 7 through 11? Shout them out. The statutes of the Lord, very good. The precepts of the Lord. The commands of the Lord. And then verse 9, we might not see this referencing the word of God, but as we look at it in this context, and as I looked at commentaries this week, the fear of the Lord is referencing living our life in submission to God and to his word. Later in verse 9, we see another phrase. What's that phrase? The ordinances of the Lord. All of these phrases speak to God's word. The law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commands of the Lord, the ordinances of the Lord. Now, how does David describe God's word? What are the phrases that are descriptive words? Again, time for you to participate. As you look in verses 7 through 11, what are the descriptive words that describes God's word? It's perfect. Trustworthy. I'm hearing others. They revive the soul. They are what? Right. The commands of the Lord are radiant, pure, sure, are sure and altogether righteous. Let me just go over that list again. God's word is perfect. God's word is trustworthy. God's word is right. God's word is radiant. God's word is pure. God's word is righteous. David had the utmost respect for the laws, for the commands, for the word of God. Let's take a moment to look at each one of these words. Perfect. Perfect is to be free from all of corruption, without error. When David looks on the laws and the commands of God, he didn't pick and choose which ones were good. He says that they were all perfect in their entirety. Trustworthy. God's word can be trusted and relied upon. David had complete confidence in God's laws and in his commands. He understood that God's word would not lead him astray, would not deceive him, but can be trusted. The word right. The statutes of the Lord are right. They're perfect. They're right in all things. Radiant. The commands of the Lord are radiant. Radiant is to be pure, to be clear, without darkness. God's commands shine and they illuminate. God's commands are pure. They're eternal. They're altogether righteous. Altogether righteous is synonymous for right and perfect and pure and radiant and trustworthy. David understood that God's character is reflected in his words. And he understood that God is perfect, that God is trustworthy, that God is right, that God is radiant, that God is pure, that God is righteous. And he understood that God's word, that God's commands are also described in those same words. You and I need to prioritize God's word in 2013 because of the character and the nature of the word of God. They are perfect, trustworthy, right, radiant, pure, eternal, and righteous. In a world with no absolutes, where experiences are trusted and valued, it is imperative that we prioritize God's word and commands and understand that they are right and perfect. You and I can easily be swayed by our emotions and our feelings and our experiences, or we can be swayed by the culture around us that is continually changing. That's why it's critical that we stand on God and his word and his commands that are perfect, that are eternal. Think about the reality that God's words, his commands and laws don't change, and they're relevant regardless of the culture, regardless of the time. Here we are, 2,000 years since the birth of Christ. The scriptures are thousands of years old, and yet they are as irrelevant for us today as they were when they were written. They're as relevant for us here in the United States as it would be for somebody living in poverty in Haiti. Why? Because the Word of God reflects the nature and the character of God. How do you view the Word of God? That's the list that David came up with. He was reflecting on the character and the nature of God. And he describes the Word as being right, pure, true, perfect, trustworthy. I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home. I'm blessed to grow up in a church like Community Bible Church. But I did not always view the Word of God with the words that David would have used. To me, at least as a teenager, the Word of God was confining. It was restraining. It was burdensome. I remember looking around as a teenager and looking at other teenagers and friends who weren't living their life in submission to God's Word and say, man, that would be so much easier if you didn't have to live by God's commands and his rules. They're so confining and restraining. It'd be so much easier if I didn't have to live in submission to God and his word. I understood that God was real and I understood this was God's word, and so I did it. But it was burdensome. I remember when my attitude really went in a totally different direction. It was 5 years after high school. I was at my fifth year reunion. And there was a guy there by the name of Dave. And Dave and I weren't good friends in high school, but our paths did cross. We rode the same bus together. We had some classes together. And Dave was a partier. Back in the time, he was one of those guys we called the pothead. And if you needed some drugs or you needed a good time, Dave was the guy who you went to. And so when I saw Dave at the fifth year reunion, he says to me, Jeff, we were actually getting lined up for a group picture, and I'm next to Dave, and he said, so Jeff, what are you doing? You still working on the farm? And I said, no, Dave, actually I'm working at a church. And he looked at me and he said, don't preach at me because it's not going to do any good. And I said, relax, Dave, I'm not going to preach to you. And so we took the picture and we had the meal and the evening was going on. About partway through the evening, I needed to go out in the hallway to use the restroom, and outside the doors, there was Dave standing. And he says, Dave, come on over here. Dave says to me, come on over. And as I go over, I'm like, oh, great, he's just going to give me a hard time. But he says, Jeff, so tell me, what are you doing at the church? So I told him I'm working with teenagers and some of the things that we're involved in, and the conversation continued to develop. And over the next 10, 15 minutes, he says to me, he says, Jeff, he says, out of all the guys that I've talked to here tonight, you're the guy that's got to figure it out. Do you understand what life is all about? And then he began to open up, and he talked about how his dad was an alcoholic. His dad was dying of liver disease. And I remember driving home that night, almost like it was yesterday. And I began to think back to my attitude towards the Word of God as a teenager. And I began to realize, wow, the Word of God is not confining and restraining. The Word of God is not burdensome. The Word of God is true, it's right, it's eternal. The Word of God is freeing. That actually God's confinement and restraintment in the Word of God gives me freedom because it protects me from the bondages of this world. Take a look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, if you're following along this morning. This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. Our attitude, our viewpoint on the Scriptures will determine whether or not we're going to value and prioritize the Word of God. You and I need to prioritize the Word of God in 2013 because of the character and the nature of the Scriptures. Second reason we need to prioritize God's Word is because of the benefits from the Scriptures. What are the phrases in Psalm 19 that reflect the benefits that we see of God's Word? Again, give you a chance to participate. I'll give you the first one. One of the benefits of Scriptures is it revives the soul. Somebody else, give me another one. Makes the simple wise. Very good. Somebody else. Brings joy to the heart. Good. What else? Give light to the eyes. And if you skip down to verse 11, it provides warning and provides great reward. Let me read that list again. The benefits that come from God's Word is it revives the soul, it makes wise the simple, it gives joy to the heart, it gives light to the eyes, it provides warning, and provides great reward. Again, let's just take a moment to think about each one of those benefits. Reviving the soul. God's commands bring life and vitality to our soul, to our inner being. There will be times in 2013... when your souls will need to be revived. When spiritually you will be dry, you will be hungry, you will be thirsty. Where will you go to be fed? Where will you go to quench that thirst? I trust that you will go to God and to His Word. God's Word is life-giving. It touches our soul. It touches our innermost beings. What about make wise the simple? There will be times in 2013 when we will need wisdom. when we will have choices and decisions to make that will be critical for us and our family. We will need the insight and the guidance that come from the Scriptures. Some of the wisest people I know have never been to college. Why? Because they have lived God's Word. They have brought together God's Word with humility and life experience. Wisdom cannot be gained in a classroom. It comes from God's Word, from life experiences lived out in humility. Give joy to the heart. All of us want joy. David says, the precepts of the Lord bring joy. When a believer's life is characterized by obedience to God's Word and His commands, what will result? Blessing, joy, and gratitude. Obedience to God's Word is not always easy, but if our life is characterized by submission and obedience to God's Word, there will be blessings, joy, and gratitude. Give light to the eyes. When I reflected on this phrase, my mind went to Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. Think about that word picture for the Word of God. A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We have to navigate through all the complexities of life. How do we navigate through the complexities of life? With the Word of God as a light to our path. But how else does God's Word bring light to our eyes? Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Word of God is living and active. It judges our hearts, our motives, our thoughts. So the Word of God brings light to our eyes because it helps us to expose our hearts and our motives. It helps us to have a clear picture of who we are. Verse 11, David says, your servant is warned, and keeping them is great reward. God's Word not only provides wisdom and direction, but it also provides warning against sin and danger. God's Word warned David of the dangers of sin and folly. You and I are by nature wise in our own eyes, and we think we know what's best. But God's Word warns us and protects us, not only from ourselves, but from the temptations around us. God's Word brings many warnings that, if heeded and follow, will bring great reward. Simply knowing God's Word will not bring great reward. Only in heeding the warnings will there be great reward. In fact, David says specifically, in keeping them, in keeping the commands of God, will there be great reward. Look at how these verses coincide with Psalm 119, 1 and 2. Blessed are those, they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all of their heart. You and I want to be blessed individuals. How do we live blessed lives? God can bless us as we walk in obedience to His Word. As we think about the benefits to the Word of God, sometimes those benefits come rather quickly. In other words, we're at a difficult place, and we go to God's Word, and God's Word becomes alive, and we find comfort, we find encouragement, we find hope, we find guidance, we find direction. And God's benefits from His Word and Him speaking to us are immediate. But if you're like me, many times you open up God's Word, and you read, and you think, and you pray, and it's like, wow, I'm really not sure what God is saying. I'm not sure how it relates to my life. But what you need to understand is the day in and the day out commitment to meditating and nurturing ourselves in God's Word is where the real benefit comes. Listen to one of these responses that I received this week. This person says, when I look back in the last 10 years and being in the Word daily, I see how much His Word has changed me. He has taken me farther than I could have ever imagined. He has shown me grace, love, and mercy, and how to show these attributes to others. Since being in the Word on a daily basis, my life has been really different in a wonderful way. I wished I would not have waited so long to get into God's Word. But no dwelling in the past, I need to focus on how far He has taken me and be grateful for all the Lord has helped me to learn and see from His Word. I am very grateful for His Word and His relationship with me. The Word has changed me. I'm very different in a good way than I was 10 years ago. This person is able to look back over the past 10 years and say, wow. There is a direct correlation in me growing in my walk with God and understanding His love and His mercy and showing it to others is directly connected with me spending time in His Word. And so even though you may not see immediate benefits, understand that the real benefit comes over the long haul of saturating ourselves in the Scriptures. Last off, look with me at verse 10. Referring to God's Word, David says, they are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. David had found God's commands to be desirable, to be valuable. In fact, he compares them to gold and honey. Gold was the most valuable commodity of that time. And honey was the sweetest substance known to him and the people of his culture. And so as David looks to the Word of God, he says, I value the Word of God more than I value gold. It's worth more to me than gold. It's sweeter than anything I know. You and I need to prioritize God's Word because of the value of the Scriptures. Let me ask you, do you value the Word of God? Does your life reflect that you value the Word of God? Do you live your life in submission to the Word of God? What role does the Word of God have in your life on a daily or weekly basis? As you look back on 2012, would you say that you valued the Word of God? This individual says, years ago, in the early 80s, I was hitting the weekend running circuit. 3, 5, and 6 mile races every weekend. People may recall passing me along 441 as I often ran home from CBC after church. I ran to and from work when I was not traveling and always found new training paths when I traveled. One morning, running to work, listening to one of my gospel tapes, the Lord stopped me cold with this question. How long will it take you to run to and from work today? Mentally, I responded, about 40 minutes. How long do we spend together this morning, was his response. About 15, well, maybe only 10, I answered. What has your heart? What will serve you best, running or time with me, was the Lord's response. I knew the answer, didn't want to say it to myself or to him, but finally did. Time with you, Lord, time with you. What are you going to do about it, was his next question. I made a vow to the Lord that morning that I would not just run if I had not spent time with God and time in His Word with Him in the morning, and that I would not only not run if I had not done that, but I would not eat breakfast either. The next morning, I started in maintaining that promise. That day, I spent quality time with the Lord, and it was hard, but I made myself do it. Soon, it was 30 minutes with the Lord and less time running. Time with the Lord has never stopped since then, and running, well, that's another story. Do you value the Word of God? Is it reflected in your life, in your priorities? Again, valuing God's Word and making a priority is going to look different than each one of us. And make sure you understand what I'm going to say next. Make sure you grab hold of this. Is the goal for every believer, it's a trick question, so don't answer it, to read God's Word? Is that the goal? The goal is not to read God's Word. The goal is to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. It's about a relationship with the true and the living God. The second commandment is to love our neighbor as ourself. The goal for the Christian life is to have an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father and to reflect His love and grace to those around us. That's the goal. The Bible is a means to an end. The Bible is a means for us to get to know the true and the living God, for Him to communicate His heart, His perspective, His values to us. So don't walk away from this morning and think the goal is to read the Bible. No, the goal is to grow in our love relationship with God and have that carry over into our relationships. But to do that, to grow in our love relationship with the Lord, there are no shortcuts. It will take work. It will take discipline. It will take time, and it'll take God's Word. This morning, we want to make some resources available to you. Because it will take a plan. If you just walk out of here and say, I probably need to prioritize God's Word, probably not going to happen this week or this year. You need to have a plan. You need to have a set time. You need to understand that it's an appointment with God. And just like you wouldn't blow off an appointment with another person, you're not going to blow off God. This is your first fruits. This is your time to spend with Him. And part of that plan is going to need to be interacting with God and His Word. I came across, it's titled A Walk Through the Word, a New Testament devotional. And it's really a Bible reading plan. It's set up in 52 weeks to read through the New Testament. So if you follow it, it's like about a chapter per day. It's laid out so that you read from the New Testament 6 days out of the seven. At the end of the six days, there's an opportunity for you to write down the things that you learned, the things that you want to apply, and you can use that throughout the week as you read through that chapter. And then each day has a brief devotional or meditational thought. So again, you don't need this to read through the New Testament in this year, but it's a great format that might be helpful for some of you. But who I really want to challenge this morning is the men. It is critical that as husbands, as fathers, that we model for our families prioritizing the Word of God. It's wonderful and it's great when our wives read the Word of God and they have their quiet times and their devotional times. But our children need to see us valuing and prioritizing the Word. Our wives need to know that we're communing with God and we're valuing our time with Him and in His Word. Now, ladies, love your husbands unconditionally. Extend them grace. Their walks with God, their time in the Word is going to look different than yours. But men, I want to give you a couple options. If you're like, Pastor Jeff, I'm not somebody who really reads. I don't read at all. Well, guess what? It's no excuse. We have the NIV Audio Bible. And you can listen to it every day on the way to work. You can meditate on God's Word. It's not just like plug it in and okay, there's my Bible for the day. But allow God to speak and to minister to your heart through the reading of God's Word. We also have the Listener's Bible, the Gospel of John back there. Pastor Todd has been making available men's devotionals, Men of Integrity. There's probably about 100 guys who are receiving these little booklets. If you're familiar with Daily Bread, it's similar to that, where there's a passage to be read each day. There's some thoughts that go along with that, and then there's questions to ponder and to think about. You can pick up these on the table. We have some available for January and February, and you can sign up, and every 2 months they will be put in your church mailbox. So all sorts of ways for you to be spending time in God's Word. Again, it's going to look different than each one of us, but each one of us needs to have a plan as we think about being intentional about God's Word. At this time, I've asked Jason Slobozian to come and to share about how this has fleshed out in his life the past year. a few months back, he shared with me, it's always a dangerous thing to do, share with Pastor Jeff how God's been working in your life. And so I've asked Jason to come and to share this morning.
Good morning. If you were here exactly 51 weeks ago, the first Sunday of 2012, I shared during one of our worship sets that I was beginning a two-year read-through of God's Word. And I'm excited to give you an update. Nobody has asked me about that this year, which is okay. But I'm excited to give you an update of where I am and what God's been doing in my life through that. The reason I decided to do that was twofold. One was I wanted to redevelop a hunger for the Word. I can remember a time in my life, it was specifically in college, when I was spending time in the Word with the Lord regularly, and the days that I would miss a quiet time, I noticed a difference. And I wanted to get back to that point where I just hungered and yearned for the Word of God. And the second reason I wanted to do this was that so that I could defend my faith and so that I could stand up for truth. And I had read through a lot of the Bible, probably most of the New Testament and a decent amount of the Old Testament, but I couldn't say that I had read the entire Bible. So I wanted to have the Word of God hidden in my heart so that I could stand up for it when I'm faced with this world. So beginning of this year, a good friend of mine, he's actually in my ABF, he and I decided to do this two-year walk through the Bible together. And we found a chronological read-through of the Bible, which has been really, really interesting. And I have a sample of one of the pages that I've been going through. It started out in Genesis, of course, then it went to Job, which was the next book chronologically, and then back to Exodus, Leviticus, et cetera, et cetera. And you can see here it weaves Kings and Chronicles and Psalms. As David experiences things, it has you read the psalm that David wrote in response to that. So that's just an example, but it's been really cool for me to start getting the picture of God's redemptive plan, which is basically the picture of all of Scripture. So we started doing this, and like I said, it had been years since I was really regular in the Word. So it started out as a discipline for me. I made time every day, and I just read even when I didn't want to. But I can honestly say, not every time, but I can honestly say that that I do miss the days that I don't spend in the Word, that I notice a difference, that I'm hungry, becoming hungrier for the Word of God. And Hebrews 4:12, as Jeff shared this morning, says that the Word of God is living and active. And the reason I'm hungry for it is because it's living and a breathing document. It's Jesus himself living in my soul. And I'm reading things that I've read dozens of times, but because of something specific that I'm going through on a given day, the Word of God comes to life in a new way. So it's been really, really cool that way. I'm halfway through. I'm about a week behind, and I've been a week behind since maybe early February. I just can't seem to quite catch up. And there's for me, I'd say there's five keys to why this has been so good for me. One is that I set a realistic goal for myself. I know some of you could and have done an entire walkthrough in a year. I know based on my time constraints that was too much for me, and I would probably fall behind and just not be able to catch up and then end up giving up. So for me and for my friend, 2 years was a good amount of time. For some of you, maybe 5 years is a good amount of time. The key is there's no right or wrong answer. God will always be there. And if my 2 years turns into 2 years in a month, I think that's okay. So I set a realistic goal for myself, something that I thought that I could follow through with. Second is I have a regular time of day. For me, 5 a.m. does not exist. So I know a lot of you guys are morning people. That's not me. So for me, a pretty regular time is we put the kids to bed every night, and around 9 o'clock, I'm usually at home trying to figure out what to do. So for me, evenings work out well. But to have that regular time, the third is accountability, and that's been crucial for me. My friend and I meet once a week to talk about all kinds of things, but included in that is how is your time in the Word? What are you reading? What's changing you? And that's been really good for me. When I'm not reading, he's on my back and vice versa. So to find somebody that you can be accountable with to that. The fourth one, for me, I have the mind of a steel trap in a rusty boat. I need to write things down or I forget them. So I have this journal that I write down one thought, maybe one verse for each chapter that I read. And it's a good reminder for me, even the next day, what did I read the night before? So this has been really good for me to look back on and see some of the things that stood out to me as I'm reading. And the final key for me, and I think for all of us, is to not give up. That there are times where I'll miss 3, 4, 5 days, and it would be easy to say, well, I'm just falling behind. you know, forget about this, but to keep going, because God's word is true, and he's it's good for us to be in it as much as we can. So that's kind of where I've been. I'm almost halfway through, and it's been really, really exciting. And I would encourage you guys to, as Jeff shared this morning, to find a plan and to get in the Word, because it is living and active, but it's only living and active if we're reading it. So if you have any questions or want to see more about the plan, I'd love to share it with you, show it to you, and let's get in the Word. Thank you.
Why don't you stand as we continue in our worship time?
Just take a moment to bow our heads and to reflect before we rush out of this place into our day. Listen for God's still small voice. Give you a chance to respond to what he's been speaking to you this morning. What will prioritizing God's word look like for you? Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you have given us everything we need for life and for godliness. We're thankful, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We're thankful, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we're thankful for the forgiveness that we have in Christ. Lord, we're thankful for your written word. May it be a light to our path. May it be living and active and illuminates our hearts and our motives. May it point us back to you and to the cross. May you bring freedom and hope and life so that we can bless those around us through what you are doing in and through us this week and this coming year. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, I want to encourage you to stop back at the resource table and take a look at the resources that we're making available for you. I will be at the hospitality room if you are needing somebody to talk with or pray with this morning.